a homily this weekend, and I got to that part where it said, this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, how you love one another. I thought to myself, rut-row, we got some work to do. It's hard, right? In the different community life that we're part of, whether it's family or school or work or parish or any of those other collections of people that we tend to be part of, really having loving concern for one another can be sometimes kind of difficult. Now, I don't mean in the big ways, right? The big ways, people kind of identify that. They know there's a conflict. They can address it. But there's so many little subtle things that can creep into our community life that can really be damaging. And sometimes they're subtle, and we just kind of tolerate it and move along, and we feel the little tension, but it's hard to deal with. And there are two ways that I'd like to just briefly reflect on this morning, two things that I think are subtle ways that our love for one another in our community life can be harmed. Now, by community life, I mean it can happen in families, it can happen in school, it can happen at work, it can happen in the parish, it can happen in the town, whatever group of people we're part of. The first thing is rash judgment. Rash judgment. I know I've spoken about this before, but what is rash judgment? Rash judgment is when we assume that a person has said or done something for a particular reason, where we make the judgment on why they did this or said this without having any evidence of what that person was thinking or what their reasons were or what the circumstances were. And when we make a rash judgment, a lot of times we'll get it wrong and we won't even realize it because it would make perfect sense in our head, right? Like, oh, that's why this person did this or said this, and boy, that was mean or that was wrong or whatever. And we don't always realize it could be something completely different. Here's an example. We all have cell phones, we call people, we text people, but have you ever called somebody and they are really short with you on the phone and you start to immediately think, gosh, why are they being mean to me today? Now, I know that it's happened where I have assumed that about somebody else, and I'm sure that somebody else has assumed that about me. But with a cell phone, we don't know where that person is. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're in the middle of. Heck, maybe they just really have to go to the bathroom. It happens, right? And so we have to be on guard against rash judgment. So it's important for us when we get to those pinch points where we think that a person has said something or done something and we are imputing these ill motives to them, that we talk to them about it. Because it might be a completely different thing than what we ever imagined. There might be circumstances that we had no idea about. There might be an intention that's completely different than how we assumed it. And to love one another is to not impute ill motives, but in charity, to always assume the best of intentions and the best of circumstances. And if it's unknown, to ask them, you know, can you help me to understand why you did this or what you meant when you said? Rash judgment is oftentimes a very subtle destroyer of friendship and affection and community life because it's subtle a lot of times, because we're so convinced that we understand what's going on, and a lot of times we don't. Number two is idle conversation. Idle conversation is a broader topic than what we might typically think of, where we might think of gossip or detraction or calumny or something like that. Well, idle conversation is a broader topic. It's kind of catch all of those things. And it even starts before you get to that point, right? So St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great saints in the church, she was a religious superior. She oversaw dozens of convents, dozens of communities of women religious. And she wrote a letter one time to the sisters, and she talked about how bad idle conversation was. And she said that we must prevent and we must discipline idle conversations in the convents. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, that's a lot of communities of women, and she's trying to suppress. Never mind. Sorry, I was outside voice. That was idle conversation. Idle conversation easily leads into sin. Idle conversation easily leads into gossip and detraction. But idle conversation, in its general sense, is just talking about things that just, there's no value to talking about it. Nothing's going to come from it. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to fall into it. And there are so many wonderful things that we could talk about. Our faith, we could talk about some project that we're working on in our life, something that we're doing. There are so many positive things that we can talk about. But idle conversation is like junk food. It's easy, it's cheap, we're all kind of attracted to it, but it does no good in the end. Here's an example. Now this one I'm going to reflect back on myself in kind of a poor light here, but I'll share this little story with you. A few weeks ago now, you know, we had a Holy Week, and at the Tuesday of Holy Week, we had the Chrism Mass, and all the priests of the diocese gather at the Chrism Mass where the bishop blesses the holy oils for the coming year, and the priests renew their priestly promises. And so I was up in Indianapolis for the Chrism Mass, and as I was interacting with the priests, other priests in the diocese, many of whom I hadn't seen for a while because I'm not friends with a lot of them, so why would I see them except at events like this? But one of the things that kind of struck me was the conversation that was repeating over and over again as I'd run into priests that, you know, not that I dislike them, it's just they're not my friends. I mean, I haven't seen them probably since the last Chrism Mass, right? So what struck me about the conversation was how superficial it could be. There was a lot of times where people were like, oh, you know, what, what was your last vacation? Where'd you go? Where's your next one? How's your golf game? What's your fishing like? And blah, blah, blah. And as I was listening to this and participating in it, by the way, so I thought to myself, gosh, these conversations are so superficial. And I thought to myself, the next priest that walks up to me, I'm going to throw him a curveball. I'm going to say, how's your prayer life? It's a pretty serious conversation, right? So I thought to myself, that's what I'm going to ask. And I'm going to see what happens. And I committed to doing that. And then the next priest walks up to me, and I was like, so how's your golf game? Like, I care about a golf game. I played golf one time in my life. It was like polo with a golf cart. Anyway, it's hard to have meaningful conversations with people, especially ones that are spiritually intimate. It's hard to go up to somebody and say, how's your prayer life? We are a group of priests. We're professional prayers. We should be able to ask that question. And yet it's still hard because it's real. There's meaning to it. There's a spiritual intimacy to it. And so we like to drift into idle conversation because it's easier. So we have to be on guard against that because idle conversation can lead into sinful conversation. So Jesus says that people will know that we are his disciples by how we love one another. Those are two ways in which we can harm the love that we have in our communities. But Jesus does say, love one another as I have loved you. So what's the positive side of this? How do we love? Well, the world cheapens the idea of love. The world teaches us that love is about me. It's about my feelings. It's about my pleasure, right? That is not the Christian view of love. The Christian view of love is what Jesus teaches us about love. So what does he teach us about love? The cross. That's the perfect symbol of love. And so if we are called as his disciples to love one another and to give witness to the world about who Christ is, then we need to have sacrificial love for one another. That sacrificial love is hard, but it needs to find real expression in marriage and family and school and work and our parish and our larger community. A sacrificial love is how people will know that we know how Jesus loves us. Remember, as disciples of the Lord, we are not called to be good. That is not what Christians are called to be. Everybody's called to be good. That is not the goal. The goal is we are called to be holy. And the way in which we live out that holiness in community life is by sacrificial love for one another. And when we can do that and strive for it, it will, you know, it's a lifetime project, right? We're not always going to get it right. But when we strive for that, and we realize that our call as Christians is to be holy, and we love sacrificially one another in our families, in our school, our workplace, our parish, our Sanmen, Milan, whatever, right? Sacrificial love is what gives witness to the world that we know and we want to share with others the love that Christ has for us.